Remind me never to bring the message when you also have to sing in the choir. Woo. Yes. You believe that this morning? What God has for me, it is for me. Yes. What God has for me, it is for me. Yes. I know without a doubt, that he will bring me out. Hallelujah. What God has for me, it is for me. You believe that this morning? Sing it with me. What God has for me, it is for me. What God has for me, it is for me. Yes, I know without a doubt, yes, that he will bring me out. Hallelujah. What God has for me, it is for me. It is for me. It is for me. Hallelujah. It is for me. It is for me. I know without a doubt that he will bring me out. Yes, what God has for me, it is for me. Amen, amen. I was not going to sing a song. And, you know, I don't want to be in the same mode, do the same thing all the time. And the Lord said, oh, yes, you are singing that song. Okay, God, you win. So this morning I have a message that is a message that I bring to encourage you. And I pray that it will encourage you. And don't be thrown by the title of the message, because the end result is that I wanted to encourage you. So I want you to turn to your neighbor. Look him in the eye. Yeah, look him in the eye. Find yourself a neighbor and look at them, because you have a question to ask them. I'm waiting. Let's look. Find your neighbor. There we go. There we go. And ask them the question. Oh, you don't want to look too long in somebody's eyes. You're like, hurry up. Hurry up with the question. The question is, why do bad things happen to good people? Repeat it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever asked that question? I feel confident that you've asked that question before. Why do bad things happen to good people? So, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29, it talks about a, quote, good person. It says, and this is from the New Living Translation, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the city, danger in the desert, danger on the sea, and I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all of this, I have the daily burden of my concerns for all the churches. Who is weak without me feeling weak? And who is led astray that I do not burn with anger? Now, when you read that passage, you say, now, if God is in control, and we know that he is, and if God is all-powerful, and we know that he is, why did he let all this happen to Paul? Paul, the good guy, why did he let all that happen to him? And you say that to yourself. Why do bad things happen to me, Lord? Well, this is one of the most difficult questions in all of theology. Probably ranks up there with who is Cain and Abel's wives, where they come from. Nobody can answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? But that's what I'm going to try to remind you of today, why things actually happen. I'm sure those people in Florida are asking themselves that question today because of what happened there. Good people, seemingly good people. But there's a reason that we can't forget why things happen. Good things, bad things happen to good people. And it's found in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. And it says this, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They will be boasters. They will be proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof. Paul wrote this over 2,000 years ago, and guess what? The condition of the human heart has not changed. Mankind is still rejecting God, and we're still all suffering the consequences. So back to the question, why do bad things happen to good people? There are two ways you can look at this question. First of all, technically speaking, there are no good people. I'm sure somebody was going to catch that. You're going to say, what's she talking about? Didn't the word say there are no good people? Yes, it did. Romans 3 and 12 said, and all have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. The reason there are none who are good is that God alone is the only one that's truly good. Luke 18, 19 says, why do you call me good, says Jesus? No one is good except God alone. God is the standard of righteousness. God is the standard of good. Therefore, there really aren't any good people for bad things to happen to. So really, there's nobody good. And I could stop right there and take my seat and just tell you it's over. There are no good people. So I don't know why you're worrying about bad things happening, because there's nothing happening because there's nobody good. But then on the other hand, from the human perspective, there are decent people. You believe they're decent people, don't you? So instead of using the word good, why don't we say nice? We can rephrase it and say, why does God let bad things happen to nice people? People that don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. They're really nice. They're not perfect, but they're striving for God. And you know the answer. The answer to all these questions is sin. S-I-N, sin. It's like someone throws a grenade into the crowd. One person gets hit and another one doesn't. And it's all because of sin. It's not fair, but it's the consequences of sin. And one thing we have to understand that we don't like is that sin affects people differently. Some a little, some a lot. You might be in the little category and get fortunate, or you might be over in the lot. Well, life's not fair, so you need to get over it. Now, if I decided how my day was going to go, I would never want to be in a crisis, would you? I would never want to get sick. I would never want to have an argument. I would never want to have any disaster happen to me. I would just write all good stuff in my life. There would be nothing bad happening in my life. It would be all green lights and all blue skies. Sunny, sunny, sunny. But guess what? I'm not in charge of my life. There you go. Here's the answer. I am not in charge of my life. Prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and 23, I know, O Lord, that the way of human beings is not in their control, that mortals, as they walk, cannot direct their own steps. You just can't do it. Guess what? God is in charge. And I know you don't like to hear this, especially my future husband, who always says that God does not do anything bad, that God is so good. And Vita and I get such a chuckle out of that because, you know, God is loving, God is good. All those things are very true. But guess what? God does allow bad things to happen to good people. He really does. Good people. Good people. Many of the most difficult days that we will have, you will realize that something good came out of it. So this is one of the things you have to understand about why bad things happen. Because if it was all blue skies and all sunny and everything was wonderful, would you have a need to call on God, to pray, to praise? Would you? I mean, when things are going really well for you, when things are really going well for you, are you running to the scripture? Are you getting in there studying? Are you fasting just because you want to fast because you love God? I don't think so. I think you're running to God, what? When something goes wrong. When something happens bad, here I go. I am going to run to God. But you have to realize he's going to give you a reason to run to him. Just in case you thought you were in control. Just in case you thought you woke yourself up this morning. Just in case you thought that you're in charge of you. Guess what? He wants to remind you every now and then he is in control. I have certainly learned that in my lifetime. I was talking to one of my volunteer chaplains, and he had a wonderful testimony, and he didn't realize the testimony until he was actually talking to me. He had told me some months back that he retired like 5 years ago, but he did not have enough money to supplement his income. He didn't have enough with his retirement. So what he did was he started delivering pizzas for Pizza Hut. And that, with the tips and the extra money, he was able to live better. And so, of course, he became accustomed to it, felt like he couldn't live without it, and always said to me, I just wish I could live off my retirement. Boy, I wish that I did not have to deliver these pizzas all the time. So about a month ago, he fell. Broke his arm, his elbow, his wrist. And guess what? He couldn't drive. He couldn't deliver pizzas. So he would call me once a week and tell me, you know, he still couldn't come in to volunteer because he couldn't drive. And I would tell him, that's okay. The job will be here The non-paying job will be here when you get back. And so when he did come back, he says, you won't believe this. It's been a month, and I haven't delivered any pizzas, but we've been doing okay. We've been surviving. And I said, so God had to break your whole arm to get you to realize that you could live off your retirement income. Now, ain't God good? Why do bad things happen to good people? He's a good person. That bad thing happened to him. But guess what now? He does not have to deliver pizzas anymore. Isn't that something? How God did that. But he would have been delivering pizzas from now on if he wouldn't have broken his arm. So, I don't know the mind of God, and I cannot share all of the reasons bad things happen to good people. But teacher that I am, I can share seven. For those of you that are writing, I have seven things as to why bad things happen to good people. Number one is found in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 19. Bad things happen to good people because we live in a fallen world. Get that. We live in a fallen world. I think sometimes we forget where we live. You forgot where you were, didn't you? This is not heaven. This is not paradise. If you remember in the beginning chapters of the Bible, man and woman, they lived in the Garden of Eden, a virtual paradise. Everything was wonderful, no pain, no suffering, no heartache, no death. Then Adam and Eve, they sinned. And here comes death. Here comes pain, suffering, heartache, all those things. All these things happen because of sin. Saints, we live in a fallen world. This is why bad things happen to good people, because you're not in heaven. You're right down here on earth with a lot of unhappy, unfriendly, angry people. Now, we blame God. We blame God when bad things happen. We say, God, why'd you let that happen? Why'd you let that happen? Well, let me ask you a question. If you buy a brand new car, and you go out and you rear end that car, and you wreck that car, do you blame the Chevrolet dealer? Mm-mm. It was not the Chevy dealer's fault. It wasn't Ford's fault. You did that. You broke it. It's a result of your actions. Again, remember, we live in a fallen world. The world is not like God created it. So bad things are going to happen in this now bad world. The good news for you is, once you accept Christ and you're born again, you have the word to come back and combat those negative things. You can fight with the word and say that God will deliver you in spite of those bad things that happen to you. Right. Number two, bad things happen to good people because of the sin of other people. Now, isn't that annoying? Something bad's going to happen to me because of somebody else's sin. Now, that's just outrageous. Well, 2 Samuel 11, 14 to 17, if you can remember, King David committed what? Adultery with Uriah's wife. She became pregnant. When David found out, what he tried to do, he tried to get Uriah to go home, go to bed with his wife, so the baby would look like it was his. But no good, innocent, kind Uriah says, I'm not going to do that. My men are out there. I'm not even going home at all. So he wouldn't enjoy it. So David's like, okay, what am I going to do now? Well, guess what? Because of my sin, I'm going to have to kill Uriah. Sin of other people. This innocent, honorable, good man was killed so David could cover his tracks. Saints, bad things happen to good people because of the sin of others. What does the word say? That the sins of the father from generation to generation. Stuff happens just because. You might have a gene that makes you a diabetic because it's in the genes. It just happens. You're not a bad person, but you're going to have to learn how to deal with that unless the Lord decides to heal you. He may and he may not, but you have to live with it. Does that make God bad? Absolutely not. Think about all the families who go without food or don't have decent housing because their parents are addicted to drugs and alcohol. All those things, they're suffering innocently because of others. Think about that drunk driver. That drunk driver that hits somebody and kills them. They're innocent, but bad things happen to them. Number three, bad things happen to good people to teach us and prepare us. 1 Samuel 17:31-36 says, if you remember this account, you'll recall that there was a giant, Goliath, and he would come out every day and taunt the Israelites, challenge them to a fight. And every day the soldiers would tremble and run away. Then here comes David. Now, David had been fighting lions and bears and all kinds of things the whole time he was out there guarding the sheep. So he had become prepared. Now, don't you think David was saying, why in the world do I have to keep fighting these lions, these bears? Why, God, don't you keep them away from me? God was trying to teach and prepare him so that he could fight Goliath. There's always a reason, a teaching experience. There's always a reason. God sometimes allows bad things to come our way so that we can be equipped to work in a bigger and better way. So many times you get things that you did not expect. I think God has allowed things to happen to me that I can bless other people, that I can help other people. And I don't know about you, but for me, someone can tell me I'll be okay in a circumstance, but if they haven't been through the circumstance, I don't believe them as much as I do the person that's been through it. The person that's been through something that you're going through, you can certainly help them just a little more because you really know what's going on. So I can really tell you, pastor can really tell you that you should wait on a wife, that many others will come and you might have thought it, but God said no, so you wait. You have to learn that. And so when he says to me, this is how you should do it, I can believe it and accept it because I know he did it. And that's how we learn from each other. Then bad things happen to good people to bring glory to God. Guess what? We're back to bad things do happen to good people because God allows it. You know what chapter I'm going to now in the book of Job, of course. Job 1, verses 8 through 12. I think that if you think that Satan only hangs out with sinners, you're wrong. Satan loves to hang around good people. He doesn't just hang around with the wicked. He hangs around with the good people too, so he can do what? Try to make you bad. He slips in, like Paul said, he slips in like an angel of light, masquerading, acting deceptive, because he's trying to get you to denounce God. God started bragging about Job to the devil. And the devil said, well, if you let me attack him, he's going to turn his back on you. Now, he's probably said that about some of you. He's probably said that about some of us. He's probably said that. And sometimes we pass the test, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we stand up strong for God, and other times, I'm backing off. I ain't doing that. Then we feel bad. We have to go apologize to God and tell him we're really sorry. It is easy sometimes to begin to think that you don't need God, and that you can get away with not doing what he asked you to do, and he's not going to come after you. But guess what? You're wrong. That's not going to happen. If he wants you, he's going to get you. He's going to have you. Number five, bad things happen to good people to remind us that we need to trust God. Stop being so self-sufficient. Stop thinking that you do everything for yourself, that you're in charge. Stop thinking that, because the minute you start thinking that you don't need God, he's going to remind you that you do. And it's very easy for us to talk about how great God is and how much we trust him until we really have to trust him. When you really have to trust him, when you really have to do it, then you really have to stand up behind those things you were talking about. You really got to do that. Number six, bad things happen to good people to help other people. This is my personal least favorite. I just don't really like helping other people all that much, because they really kind of annoy me, because I help them, and then when it's my turn to be helped, they nowhere in sight. Where did they go? What happened to them? So, okay, God, I'm kind of upset that you're going to let something happen to me so I can help somebody else. Wait just a minute. But there's just really no good reason for that. Then God reminded me some years back, I had, matter of fact, it was my first memorial service, and it was really no good reason for this untimely death, in my opinion. No good reason. And untimely in the fact that the child was 6 years old and he had gotten murdered by his father. So when I looked out in the audience, there were hundreds of people out there. And I had all planned out what I was going to say and talk about, you know, how he's in heaven. And the Lord just turned it all the way around. And he had me ask the people in the audience, how many of you want to see Dion again? Everybody raised their hand. Everybody said amen. Everybody want to see him. And I said, well, I don't think you're going to see him again if you're not going to heaven. So it got really quiet. So then I had the opportunity to truly preach and tell them that if you do not get saved, you don't stop doing what you're doing, you're not going to see that little boy again. So perhaps that bad thing brought some people to Christ that it wouldn't have happened any other way, because they had never darkened the church door until that funeral. Why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes they happen so other people can be helped. I can tell you personally that I have been able to help many people that have been victims of domestic violence. I'm able to help them because I've been through it. I can tell them, you can survive, you can live on, and you can make it with you and God. You do not have to be abused. You do not have to be hurt. God can protect you. And I give them stories of how God will really do it for you. And so they understand, and then that gives them the courage and the strength to get out of that bad situation. And they can only do that because they look at me now. If I tell somebody that I'm almost 70 years old and that I've been beaten unrecognizable and they see me now, they say, wow, how could that be? Boy, God must love you. God blessed you. God has blessed you. And I'm able to say that and able to tell them that they can be blessed too. But number seven is my favorite, and that's John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says you will have suffering in this world. I want you to focus on the word this. Often we get so busy building houses, taking care of our family, working on jobs that we forget this is not your home. This is not your home. Realize that we forget that Jesus is preparing a place for us that's better. We're not home yet. There's a place that we're going where there is no pain. There's a place that you're going where there is no suffering. There's a place where there's no separation. There's no loneliness. There's no tears. The place we are headed, there's streets of gold, gates of jewels, joy filling the air. We're not home yet. This place is just a pale shadow of what is coming. There is a better place waiting for you. But in this world, bad things are going to happen. And they're happening to remind you, don't get too comfortable here. Don't get too comfortable here. Because this is only a temporary body. Yes, you should take care of your body. Yes, you should do that. But don't get too comfortable. Wear this garment loosely. Because there's a better place waiting for you. Now that we know that bad things happen to good people, here's my other question. When bad things happen to good people, to God's people, how do you respond? What are you going to do? Good people respond by trusting God. Romans 8, 28, 32 says, and we know. We know what? That all those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say? If God is for you, if God is for you, who can be against you? He did not spare his own son that he would not give everything to you. Often when pain and trouble come our way, we need to remember to trust God. He's in control. The second reason good people respond to bad things by remembering God's love. Romans 8, 35, 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Are you going to get upset because some bad thing happened to you? Are you going to get mad? Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep being slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And there is neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else that will separate you from the love of God. If you have that in your mind, no matter what happens to you, you're still going to love God. And finally, good people respond to bad things by looking back and by looking ahead. You look back to see how he got you out of whatever you were in times before. You look back. And then you look ahead to see how he's going to get you out of what you're in right now. You look back and you say, once I was lost and now I'm found. You look ahead and say, I have a better place. Something better is coming for me. I am going to serve God. So you have to look back and you have to look ahead. We have to remember in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, but it is written, what no eye has seen nor heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Saints, something better is coming. Something better is coming. I'm told of a story as I close. And this is a story about a preacher who went to visit an elderly woman from his church just hours before she passed away. As he leaned over her bed, she whispered something in his ear. And then she passed. Now, those who attended her funeral, they were surprised as they went to view the body that the woman was holding a spoon in her hand. And no one understood. So when the preacher got up to do the eulogy, he said, "Shortly before our dear sister passed, she whispered in my ear, making a special request. She asked me to place a spoon in the casket with her. And then she told me, the reason why is growing up, after Mom told us to clear the table, she told us to save our spoon to wait for dessert because something better was coming. So she wanted to make sure she got buried with that spoon because she was waiting for her dessert because something better was coming. I can tell you today, something better is coming. Bad things may happen to good people, but if you respond right, good things will happen to you. As I close, as I told you, I've been in a bad marriage, very bad marriage. First marriage, terrible, got beaten. Second marriage, took everything from me. Imagine you have a car and someone takes it and pawns it. Imagine that you see your car driving down the street and you're not driving it. And you're wondering, who is that person in my car? And it's all because someone, my husband, has given the car away for drugs. I have been through some bad things. But guess what? My response has been good. So now my end is going to be a great husband, a great marriage, a wonderful thing. I might have had to suffer. I might have had to suffer. But right now I have someone. And I told him I was going to tell him this. Tell on him. He has OCD. He has ADD. And he has PTSD. But all that works for my good. Because he's always doing something. He washes my car. He puts the gas in the car. He does everything I need done. He picks up everything. I don't have to pick up a thing. He gets the groceries in. He does everything because God has saved him for me for last. Something better is coming. Something better is coming. Heaven is coming. While you're down here on earth, if you respond right to bad things, he'll do it for you right here. He'll do something good for you right here. So I say, be encouraged. Be encouraged, saints. Something better is coming.
Powerful message. Very powerful message. Amen. She said two marriages. But look at her now. Very powerful message. Amen. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. It's a blessing. Amen. Ladies, you don't really understand, but it's a blessing when you have a man that takes care of you. Amen. I know sometimes we get so comfortable and we kind of take it for granted. But when you have somebody that put gas in your car and all you do is just take the key and stick it in the ignition. And when you turn it on, the hand goes like this. And it's on that F. Or when you go out, you know your car was dirty when you got out, but then when you get back in, it's clean. It's a blessing. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Amen. Or you have a husband that washed their own clothes, wash dishes. That's a blessing. You can't take that for granted. He may not wash it like you wash it, but he's washing it. He may not put it back where you put it, but he put it up. Amen. It's out of the way. Amen. It's out of the way. You ain't tripping over it anymore. You put it up. That's a blessing. Don't take those things for granted. Amen. Don't take those things for granted. Those are the little moments in life that a lot of times, you know, if you would just say thank you. I mean, sometimes that's what, you know, that's what God wants. You know, God just want to hear a thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Minister Cora, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful message. Very powerful. A great testimony for those of you who are waiting on God to send you the right person in your life. Amen. And it is a blessing when someone has gone through and now that they are in the harvest of their season. So it is a blessing to say that if it's this close to you, amen, you're next. Amen. We're not talking about something down the road. We're not talking about something somewhere else. We're talking about something that is happening right here at Rhema. That's close. You all need to touch her when you leave here today. And thank her because it's close. All right.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna say this to Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas, you started something. You better finish it. Because you done started something, bro. And you better finish it. Because if you don't, she's going to talk about you. You're a preacher. Just saying. Amen. Amen. Brother, but it's good, brother. Take care of your wife. Take care of her. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Amen. That's a blessing. I mean, 30 years ain't received anything, but look at God. Amen. It's worth the wait. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you all. God bless you all. That was three called. Understood. Understood. Don't tell too much on yourself, bro. Amen. Let us all stand. Doors of the church is now open. Doors of the church is now open. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, for the word that has gone forth. Father God, we lift up Minister Corey to you, Father God. We pray right now, Lord, that you will continue to bless her, continue to use her, Lord, to speak your word. Father God, we pray right now that you will fill her up with your word. Father God, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus. And Father God, everyone that is here right now, underneath the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray right now and I lift them up to you right where they are, Lord. Bless them and keep them. Lead them and guide them, Lord, and have your way in their lives. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We love you. We cannot live without you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, and we ask these and all blessings in thy Son, Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.